Good morning once again. It's good to be gathered together today. This morning we begin to look at chapter 8 of the book of Romans. We're going to begin to look at it, study it, chapter 8 of the book of Romans. We would all say one of the great chapters in the Word of God. So go ahead and open your Bibles there. Chapter 8. We'll begin to look at verses 1 through 4 today. Go ahead and grab your outline. So we're opening it up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin to look at this great chapter in the Bible. Grab your outlines, help you follow along. We're still in the section here that I titled this wonderful teaching of the transformed life that we have in Christ. We're talking about this new incredible life that we have in Christ, and the Apostle Paul has been laying that out for us. He's still teaching on the depth of the doctrine of sanctification, what God has done to separate us from sin, and what God continues to do to grow us in Christ-likeness, in attitude and action, sanctification. He's still teaching on that, but now the Apostle Paul in this chapter, what he does, he moves here to teach us on the work and the leading of the Holy Spirit in God's justifying and sanctifying work. He's going to teach us the ministry of the Holy Spirit is on display here. To summarize the chapter, what we will see here is our life. It's in your outline here, our life by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what that summarizes the chapter. The new life that we have in Christ, the life that we have now. So I gave the title for the whole chapter is Life in the Spirit. We're looking at part one today. We're not even going to get all the way through part one today, but we're going to dig into all of this. So it's life in the Spirit. It's about our life by and through the Holy Spirit's work, His power, and His leading. Now, I said it many times in kind of different ways because I want us to capture some things today. I want us to have some things on our heart. I'll repeat this a couple of times as we go through all of this, but I want us to have something in our heart and mind. This is what we're going to be learning. We're going to be learning with real clarity the work and the power and the leading of the third person of the Godhead. I want you to capture some of the things in your heart and minds. A lot of times we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about like this emanating force that is coming in. Yes, God is a force, God is that, but the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. He's the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's God that we're talking about, what God did and what God is doing in our life. And this is how we want to see that and understand it in that way. A lot of things we're going to be talking about in all of that. On Wednesday night, we are studying about knowing God. We're using Packer's book and on all of that, and knowing God from this view, who He is. That's the focus for Wednesday night, who He is. The character, the nature, the attributes of God revealed in Scripture. To know God, you have to know who He is from the Word of God. God is not who we think He is in our thoughts, and then now that's God. But God is who He wants us to know, and He wants us to understand who He is, the character, the nature, the attributes of God by what's revealed in His Word. Not how we think about Him, but what He says He is. But also to know God, you have to know why He came. There's three things that are in the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament, and is what God has wanted in the revelation of God to let us know is who He is, why He came, and what He did and what He's doing. That's how you're going to know God. Who He is, the character, the nature, the attributes of God revealed in the Word of God. Why He came. Why did He come? Why did God send God the Son? Why did He come? Right? When you dig into all of the reasons of that, of God's revealed, it's not what I think of why He came. It's by what the Word of God says why He came. Okay? When we want to teach that. And then what He did and does. What did He do? What has He done and what is He doing? And it's revealed in the Word of God. And when you understand those three things, when you dig into those things from the Word of God, you really get to know God. So that's what we're doing here. I want you to stay with me. So to know God, you have to understand God from His Word, who He is. To know God, you have to understand from Scripture why He came. Also to know God, the truth about God, who He is, why He came, you have to know what He did and what He's doing. Scripture's revelation is about that, about those three things. In Romans 6 through 8, we're digging into all of this. We have been seeing the truth of what God did and is doing in the life of the believer. Justification, salvation, sanctification, we've been digging into all of that. This is what God did, and this is what He's doing. So we know God. And that's what we've been digging into here. So we're gonna look at this here in chapter 8. We see the revelation of what God has done and is doing in our lives by the work and power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's telling us. That's what we're learning. That sanctifying work, that justifying work, that salvation work, all of that, we're going to dig into that. Here in Romans 8, much of the Holy Spirit's ministry comes into clear focus. And we'll dig into this. I wrote this down. We're going to 5, 6, 7, 8. Not sure how many weeks we're going to be here, but we're going to be here a while. Very important for us to understand who God is if we understand what he has done and what he is doing. Then we're going to have a more clear relationship with our God. This is what God did and is doing. And like I said, the third person of the Godhead is doing this, not some external force. Yes, God is that by the power of God, but God himself is doing this, the Holy Spirit who is God. Now, if you look at your outline with me, look at it with me, and I'm going to take a long time here to an introduction because we're digging into some important theological truths, some important truths that we understand who God is and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to take my time as we go through all of this. And so I put an outline together on the things that we're going to learn of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's here in your outline on your thing. And I'm going to talk about them today. And I say this would probably be one of the most important messages of Romans 8 that you hear all of this. Because you're going to be able to connect in your heart and mind this summary of what the Holy Spirit is doing. First, he frees us from sin and death. That's what he's done. Before you were saved, before you were regenerated, born again, made alive, you were enslaved to the law of sin and death. That's why I read Romans 3, 9 through 10. That's who you were. Everybody was. Nobody's not that. You were enslaved to that. You were a sinner and you sinned. And God's judgment, the law of sin and death, God's judgment is going to come, eternal death. That's the principle of humanity. That's the principle of all humanity that they're in. The state of sin and death, of the law of sin and death. The third person of the Trinity, God himself, in his divine power and work, freed you from that principle. That's what he freed us from. We studied this so far. Freed from the law or the operation of sin and death. He did that. It's done. He's done that in your life, that you are freed. Your new life in Christ is set free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit is doing that in you now by leading you and guiding you and me not to follow that dead carcass. Remember the last 2 weeks? The old self, the flesh, the dead corpse that we're strapped to, our old humanity that only wants to follow self and self-gratification. God set us free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit did that by his work and power, gave us new life. We're still incarcerated with that old self. Remember this. He did that. And what he's doing now is leading you to live a life that's not living in the principle of law and death. So I want you to write this down. Submission. Submission. The Holy Spirit has done this. Our life now, as we live this life, is to be in submission to him guiding and leading us. What does it say? Walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. All believers, every Christian, has to be in submission to the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, God himself, that lives in your new life. As he's guiding and leading you by the word of God to live this life set free from the law of sin and death. And our responsibility is submission. You don't submit, you will follow the flesh, and that principle will be in operation in your life, not eternally, but earthly. Because that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our life now, is to lead us away from letting our old self follow our life. Are you with me? This is profound, this is deep, this is truth. He's going to get into all of this in our life. God didn't save any of us, so we could do this on our own. Even though he freed me from the law of sin and death, he gave me new life in Christ, I have to follow him, God himself, to live this out in this life. One day with him, it'd just be who I am. But here I have to follow him. Submission is a big word. You have to submit to God's truth, God's word, obey him, follow him, and he's going to guide and lead you through the word of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit and his power in leading our lives. Now, even though we have a new life in Christ, we've been freed from the law of sin and death, we don't live freed from that on our own. Like I said, we now are free to follow God himself, God the Holy Spirit, the one that is indwelling me in my new life. Walk by his leading, obey God's word, trust in God. It's relational, and our part is submission. That's what God rescued us to. That's why he reconciled us with him. That's all of these truths that we've been digging into. This is the work of God. This is what he's doing. God leads you. The Holy Spirit freed you and me from the law of sin and death. And what he's doing now, he's leading us from living that law of sin and no life. Submission in relationship with God. You get that? You guys get that? Come on, you with me with here today? This is so important for us to grab this and understand this. As we go through all of this, what our battle is going to be, what our struggle is going to be, are we going to submit to God leading our life? Even though he's given us all this new life by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit, our part is, are we going to submit to what he's doing? We want to know God that way, what he did and what he's doing. As I would continue on in the outline, God the Holy Spirit, we'll look at this more later, enabled us to fulfill God's law. We're going to look at that. He gave us a new life in Christ that can live God's way, that desires to live God's way, that will live God's way. He did that. And again, now, to do that now in our life, I have been set free from the law of sin and death. He's enabled me in my new life. I can fulfill the way God wants me to live. But in my life now, I have to follow for that to happen. I'm battling the flesh, I'm battling my self-gratification, battling the untruth, battling the enemy, battling sin's deception. I have to follow God, I have to follow God. Submission. Next, the Holy Spirit changes our nature. He already did that. By the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, I have a new nature, you have a new nature. We are a new creation, made alive, born again. 2 Peter says a divine nature. We desire to love God, love his word, desire to live God's way, new longings in our life. The old is gone, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He's already did it. But remember Romans 7:14-25. There's a battle going on. Sin is still present in my flesh. And in submission, the Holy Spirit has changed my nature. He's changing the way I live out that new nature, that new life, guiding me to live in the newness of life that he's given me. Submission again by the work and the power and the leading of God. This is the work of God. Then we will see the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, empowered us for victory. That's next. 2 Peter again said, you've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness. I haven't been empowered to live a righteous life. Have you? Come on, help me. Have you been empowered to live a righteous life? Absolutely, every Christian has by their new life in Christ. It's been empowered by God. But do you still need to be empowered to live that righteous life now? Sure, you've been given a new life that can live righteous, but you have to follow God to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live that way. It's a follow. It's a submission. We want to capture all of this. We want to understand all of this because when we do, we really know God. We're really going to have a personal relationship with what God is doing in our life. It's really a depth, the work of the Holy Spirit in the work of sanctification is what we're really going to dig into in all of this. Continuing on, and like I said, I'm going to just keep kind of repeating this because this is very important. The Holy Spirit that dwells in my new life, this ministry that he has done and is doing is how I'm going to know God. He continues through chapter 8. He confirms our adoption. You became part of God's family, a child of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, by his power. You became part of the family of God. He did that. God, the Holy Spirit, did that. We're going to see that as you follow God, the Holy Spirit confirms that you are a child of God. We'll look at all of that. The Holy Spirit guarantees our glory. You looking at your outline? He guarantees our eternal glorification, our heaven's glory. He did that and is doing that. The Holy Spirit aids us in prayer. Pastor Craig shared a little bit about that today. But when we get into that, that's going to be a really incredible study there. God, the Holy Spirit, completes the purpose and progress of salvation. God's word declares that. What a ministry that he has. This is what he's done. He's completing the purpose and progress of salvation. He's doing that. He's done that. Our relationship with him is in submission to that. And as we go through all of this, God desires us, me and you, all of us, to capture the relational aspect of all the ministry of the Holy Spirit so we know God. Finally, to conclude chapter 8, now I've just given you an overview. You guys capturing this? Just giving you an overview. He concludes the chapter with a song of eternal security. to say what God has done, no entity of creation can ever change its reality. Like I said, one of the great chapters in God's Word. Now, that's just kind of an overview to just show you where we're going. Maybe some things in this you have questions on. Maybe some things in here you really don't know how this is, how God did that, how the Holy Spirit did that. Maybe you don't know how the Holy Spirit works in a life now. Maybe you heard all this other stuff that can be said, that he does this or that, and these are the evidences of it and all that. We're going to nail all that down. Is that exciting? Maybe I'm excited more than you're excited, right? Right? You know, I know, here it is, 11:35, and I know normally it's 12:35, and everybody's stomach's going, arr. Hey, you know what? I'm going to try to finish at least 15 minutes over time today. And I bet if I preached 11:15, only half of you would still be here. I'm gonna stay within our time today because this is going to be really rich, and no reason to hurry, no reason to get through things. We just need to look at God's word and let God be God and let God share with us and teach us what he did and what he's doing so we know him in truth. Now, as we begin to dig in chapter 8 of Romans, the first observation that we make is in your outline here. In this life, in the Spirit of God, we see freedom from sin's condemnation, verse 1 through 4. That's the first thing, observation we're going to make. We see freedom from sin's condemnation. This is such an important work that we need to understand. And so what I want to do is I want you to listen to Romans 8, 1 through 17. I want you to just hear all of that outline that I gave, all those things that I said. I want you to just hear 1 through 17 so we capture the flow and the context and we see the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And then we will look at what 1 through 4 unfolds. I want you to hear God's word in verses 1 through 17 and listen here and listen for the work and power of the Holy Spirit in our new life. Listen to what he says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. That's lost people, but according to the Spirit. We walk according to the Spirit. Everybody that's been born again, made new. Verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh, that's lost people that don't have salvation, set their mind on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, that is us, believers in Christ, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. But the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh, those are lost people, cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, God himself, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. He dwells in your new life in Christ. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead, that's that corpse that we've been doing on the illustration, strapped to us. Even though that's dead because of sin, yet the Spirit, that's you, your new life, is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. That's that dead body that you are before salvation through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. That's obvious. For if we are living according to the flesh, you must die. Be saved is what that is. But if by the Spirit, that's who we are, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we might also be glorified with him. That's incredible, all that it said there. To unpack that, for us to get the depth of the work and power and leading of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and what's going on, what God is doing, is absolutely amazing. It should just really excite us to say, wow, I want to learn what all of that is saying, what all of that means, what God is revealing about what he did, why he came, who he is in the work and power of the Holy Spirit. And we heard it, that life that we have in verses 1 through 17, because of the work and power of the Holy Spirit. We heard it. I won't go through it all. But we also heard in those verses the life that we have now by the work and leading of the Holy Spirit. We also heard that also. It's all in there. The first thing we notice in verses 1 through 4, we have freedom from sin's condemnation. Now, we kind of use that a lot of times in our life. We kind of use that. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. We kind of use that, but let's dig into what it is really emphasizing and what he wants us to understand in the depth of it. Look at verse 1 with me. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Therefore. Therefore is in view of what has been said. Here's what the Apostle Paul wrote to therefore there. He pushes us all the way back to chapter 3, verse 9. In view here is the condemnation that all humanity sits in. That's in view here. Remember what was said there? I read it this morning. When I preached on this, when I was in Romans 3, 9 through 20, when we were in the service and when I was preaching on that, remember I had a gavel? Remember we're in the courtroom of God? Here in the courtroom of God, listen to what humanity's on trial. This is what Paul has in view to begin all of this, what he says, therefore. Remember, humanity is on trial, the courtroom of God. God the Father's the judge. Jesus is the prosecuting attorney. The Holy Spirit is a witness on the stand. Here is what the Holy Spirit, God himself, giving testimony about the state of humanity. All are under sin, sin-dominated, slaves of sin, none righteous, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God, they all turned aside, none do good for God, and they don't know the path of peace, no fear of God at all, the law of God isn't kept, cannot be kept, no one is justified, the verdict is rendered, guilty is charged, the punishment has been set, no one will escape it, the wrath of God is on all humanity. And all humanity is doing now is living this life, is storing up wrath. In the day of wrath, God will render eternal punishment on them because of sin. Humanity is cursed. Galatians 3:10. We're all condemned, and the gavel has fallen. That's the truth of God's word. That's the reality of who he is and what his judgment is and what his conclusion already is. Humanity's already in the courtroom of God, judged guilty of sinners, of being a sinner, and of sin and falling short. And punishment is waiting. It's already rendered. Condemnation means the judgment and the eternal punishment done. Humanity was condemned. That's the truth. Now you start to grasp, so why did God come? Because humanity's condemned. None of them are going to be with me. Zippo, unless I act, God. That's important. Paul pushes us all the way back there. Therefore what changed that? What changed that? My goodness? My sweetness? God has to change that, right? It's already in the courtroom of God. Nobody believes. Zippo. It's already done. He didn't say, but it might change if. No, he's already. Gavel fell. It's decided. That's incredible. If God did not act, that's eternal damnation is where everybody is at. Regardless of what you think, believe, do, the verdict's happened. Jesus said it in John 3:18. We come in condemned. So he pushes us back to there. The judgment has already happened. The verdict is already declared. The punishment of sin for humanity is condemnation. That's the state of all that are lost. then all the truth from Romans 3 through 7, chapters 3. But God, justification by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, imputed righteousness, new life given, sanctification, imparted righteousness, O self with crucified, new relationship with God and with the law of God. Now, your life now became in union with Christ. He's the bridegroom. You're the bride. You still have a present battle with sin going on. You still sin, all of that. All of that, therefore, in view of all of that, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you think there's been an incredible work and power of God? Come on, help me. This wasn't about that I was good enough to think about that I would believe. It can't be. It never could be. This is about God acted on in the world, that God moved on in the world, that God did something different. He sent his only begotten Son to live the gospel, to share the gospel to all that were condemned. Important aspect for us to understand here. Here's the reality of the freedom that we have. Verse 1, no judgment with a verdict of guilty, with the punishment of sin, with the wrath of God. None. None ever. No, ever to all that are in Christ Jesus. No, in the Greek sentence, is in the first word of the sentence. That means it carries the strongest emphasis. This is how God says it. No condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Those not in Christ Jesus, all condemned. No. That means nada, never. That means no punishment for sin. That means no judgment in your sin, whether good, bad, indifferent. That means no punishment for sin, nada. Even though Romans 7, 14 through 25 taught us that no good thing dwells in my flesh, that your flesh and your old self, remaining residue of your humanity, the unredeemed self of you, doesn't desire to follow God, won't follow God, and you at times follow your flesh and sin. All of that, the evidences in Galatians 5 of lust, of pride, of anger, are in the life of the believer. Your fleshly lust wage war with your new life in Christ. 1 Peter 2, you still sin, but you press on toward the prize, the upward call of God. Philippians 2, 12 through 14, the state that you are now in that never can be changed, no condemnation. No judgment eternally for sin, no punishment of God for sin now and forever. Never. Catch what I'm talking about here. Yes, the consequences of sin are still in this world. The consequences of it, you reap what you sow, right? Even in the fallenness of this world, sin still affects mine and your life, right? Right? But never condemnation, never God's punishment for sin. From the moment of my salvation on, there will be no condemnation. That's the state I'm in. No judgment of my sin in the sense of that I get punished for it. Can't do it. So all the stuff that happens in the world, that all these hard things that happens in the world, there's consequences to sin. And we know in Romans 12 that God disciplines those that are his. He chastens them, right? He corrects them and all that. But God is never, in a believer in Christ, he's never going to punish you ever, ever. So a bad thing here and a bad thing there and this thing here and that thing there goes against the word of God because I have no condemnation in Christ. So whatever can look in this life that, wow, God, you ever hear people say that? God's punishing me. If you're a believer in Christ, he cannot do that. Never. Never. No condemnation ever. Christ paid it all, right? He can correct us. He can discipline us like a loving father. There is consequences to sin. Go ahead and sin. There's consequences to them. No, don't go ahead and sin. Please don't. But there's consequences to it. I reap what I sow, but I'm never going to receive the punishment of God ever again. Never. I don't care what I do. That take your breath away? I'm a believer in Christ. I got the new life. He's not going to punish me. That's grace. That's the grace of God to where all is condemned. All. And then what God did was make it to those who are in Christ. Never. That is so powerful. It's unbelievable. Are you living your life like that? Are you walking around in this life recognizing what God did is that you were condemned? Nothing you could do about it. Zip. The verdict's been rendered. And then God acted upon you in your life by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, and now I'm none? Do we live our lives like that has happened? Or do we expect that it's what we're owed or what we've earned? We know we can't earn it, right? And I know, I hope you know, you are never good enough to get it or could do anything righteous enough, and even in believing that God owed it to you. Now, before I go on any farther in all of this, as I was going through this yesterday and I was just kind of going through my notes, God really changed my direction. I'm not going to go any farther in this, except to say this, that the reality of our freedom of no condemnation come from the words of Jesus in John 5:24. So we'll pick up some more of chapter 8 next week, where he said this, "I say to you," these are the words of the Lord and Savior, "who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death and into life." You hear Christ's word, believe in the Father who sent him. No condemnation ever, no judgment in the courtroom. You're not guilty, you're innocent. No punishment coming your way. He who hears my words, or hears my word, and believes in God, the Father who sent me, has this eternal life, no condemnation, verdict changed. Innocent always, forever. What word do you have to hear of the Lord? You guys tell me. What word do you have to hear? Do you guys know? Or nobody wants to say? Or because Pastor Ken's been yelling, maybe you don't think you're loud enough? But the impact of all of this. What word do you have to hear? Help me. The gospel? That word? That's what Jesus said. Whoever hears my word and believes in God the Father who sent me has eternal life. What's the word? The gospel, right? Romans 1:16. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. You believe because you got to hear it. Here's Jesus' words on that, of the gospel, of the good news. We've read the bad news. I talked about the bad news. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. Hear it. Jesus said, "I gave my life as a ransom for many. I died for sin. I will die and I will rise again on the third day. The Father will raise me. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the Son of God. I am God himself. I am the Christ, the Messiah, the God sent one for salvation. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. I am the light of the world. I am the door to God's salvation. You will die in your sins unless you believe that I am God sent one to save. Matthew 11, 28-29, he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and you will learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." And Jesus in Mark 1:15 said this, he came preaching, repent and believe in the gospel. So salvation, a no condemnation state, comes from believing, from trusting, from putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting from sin, turning from sin, embracing Christ, believing that God sent him to do that. Amen? Amen. Gospel, right? How did you hear it? How did you hear it? Turn your Bibles to Romans 10. We're going through the Word of God. Romans 10, look at verse 13. Romans 10, how did you hear it? You ever ask yourself that? How did I hear it? I just said it in the room here. You guys said, amen, that's the gospel. Some of you heard it as the gospel. Some of you may not even have heard it. That kind of thing. How do you hear it? Romans 10, 13 and following. Stay with me. Look at what the Word of God says. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How? I just read all of that. That's the gospel. How will they call on the Lord so they will be saved? Verse 14. How then will they call on him if they have not believed? You have to have faith, right? You have to believe what I read, what I said, what the gospel. You have to believe and trust it that it's true, that he's the Savior. How will they believe in him who they've not heard? If they don't hear the word, how will they believe in him? You have to hear, and then you believe. Amen? Amen? Stay with me, you guys. Listen to the word of God. How will they hear without a preacher? That's a herald. That's one who stands on the corner, ringing the bell, saying, this is the news. How are they going to hear unless somebody says the gospel? right? Somebody preaches the gospel. Somebody tells them the gospel. Verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So you have to hear to have faith, right? Everybody's dead. Everybody's condemned. Everybody's going is punishment, eternal punishment. Everybody on the planet, Ephesians 2, are dead in their trespasses, sin by nature, children of wrath. Listen, the verdict has been rendered in the courtroom of God. The punishment has been said. All fall short of the glory of God. Wages of sin, eternal death. Humanity has been judged already. John 3:18, verse 19 says this. This is the judgment that the light has come into the world, Jesus Christ, and men, humanity, not some men, not a few men, humanity loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Romans 3, 9 through 20. So how does anyone hear? For faith comes from hearing. How does anyone hear? You guys tell me. How does anyone hear? By the power and the work of God himself and the Holy Spirit. Nobody hears unless the Holy Spirit pierces their heart with the truth. Nobody. Nada. This is God's salvation. This is God at work. This is the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. God sent his only begotten Son to live the gospel of the Holy Spirit. John 16:8 came to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't convict your heart, Acts 3:37, it says this. Peter preached the gospel. He told them all about it. And it says this. And they heard. Kathos in the Greek, it's a different word than you heard. And I've used this illustration before, but it's a great one. Whoever hears my voice right now, raise your hand. If you did not raise your hand, you did not hear me. You could say, oh, yeah, I did. But I chose not. No, you did not hear me. And you don't hear the gospel, the call of God, the good news of Jesus Christ until God, the Holy Spirit, by his power and work, pierces your dead soul and causes you to hear. That's the word of God. Nobody heard. That's the word of God. Is that grace? Is that grace? We all know this to be true. Because when we pray for our loved ones, when we pray to God for our kids or for grandma or for the ones that are in our life or for our community, we're asking God, asking God, asking God, reveal the truth of Christ to their heart. For 15 plus years, I was shared the truth of Christ, all that I read, all that's in there. I heard all those words from many, many, many of the people that were in my life. Tell me about Jesus Christ. Tell me about that he's the bread of life. Tell me about all of that. But till I was 33 and at the place, I never heard. And when I heard, faith came, and I believed, and I repented, and I have new life. But faith doesn't come apart from hearing, does it? You guys all agree. And the only reason you hear is God, the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going to begin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. What we said today, Lord, doesn't mean that men aren't accountable, doesn't mean that we don't have to act upon what we hear, that we don't have to repent and then embrace the Lord that's calling us, all of that, Lord. The man has a responsibility, but Lord, the truth of it all is that Christ came to live the gospel so the Holy Spirit could open our minds to the gospel. For it's the power from God unto salvation. That's why we proclaim it, why we're heralds, why we tell everybody about Jesus Christ, because we know all it takes is the work of God to pierce a heart with that truth, and then faith comes. That truth of Jesus Christ. But none of us can penetrate anybody's heart. None of us here can save anybody. We can't. We wish we could. But you've given us the tools. You've given us the word. You've given us what you use to transform lives. And we want to be faithful to the truth of your word. For it's you that we worship today. And we want to pray today, Lord, for anybody today that may have heard for the first time the truth of Jesus Christ, that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was really revealing to them that they are a sinner and will spend eternity in hell. But Christ came to save and to rescue. And faith is welling up in their heart. And I just pray, Lord, that they would turn from sin, turn from self, and embrace Christ. It's called repentance. And that new life begins to flourish. And for us, Lord, that have it, thank you. Thank you for the amazing grace. This is what's amazing. Unmerited favor of God is in the work and the power of God to bring a wretched person like me to saving grace. Wow, what a message of Jesus Christ. May we praise you and love you each day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.